Let's get started. Thank you all for being here. Yay. And I usually like to start by just doing the quick around, just sharing a success, because so many, we're all just such high achievers that we all think about what we didn't get done, and we're all the list that didn't get done. And I really just want us to just sit with and be in appreciation of what we did get done. So I'm just going to start, I'll start with Diane because she was the first one on, and then we'll go round robin through, and Diane, and then Lisa, then Allison, then Steph. So Diane, one success.
I finally got my intro for the ebook. So
yay.
That's all. Yeah, it didn't take nearly as long as, you know, my procrastination did.
Yeah, I loved that observation because it's so true.
Yeah.
You sit there and go, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. And then you sit down and you do it and it takes like 2 hours. And you're like, why didn't I do this thing?
I got it done. And I was like, okay, now what are you going to do with the rest of your morning?
That's awesome. So, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Super. So, Lisa, I know you've been busy, so why don't you share?
I had a pretty good start of the week. I actually did my first webinar with four potential people. I don't know yet if they've signed up, they're going to sign up or not. I'll know more tomorrow. But the big hurdle was creating the sales page and then actually getting the webinar together and having real people to do this for. Actually is the only motivator for me, I learned. Because throughout my time at NPA, I've worked on or started so many different things, which were all good ideas, and they still are, but I've never completed them. And I need actual real people in front of me in order to create something. That's actually apparently the only way I can work.
I think it's awesome to know that, because I'm always in awe when somebody's created a program and then they sell it. I'm like you're going to create it first and then you're going to sell it? Like, what a backwards way to do it. Because for me, if I do that, then it could be 2 years before I actually finish it and then sell it. So I always do that. I sell it first. You know, you have to have an outline, of course, but I sell it first and then I get people into it. And then you know and you can fix it as you go along. Because if you're just creating it in a vacuum, you're in a totally different head and mind space and heart space and level of proficiency than they are. And when you get their feedback, you may shift your gears. So good, more power to you. I'm glad you really did that. And that's what Allison and I have been talking about, too, is offer the program. Just offer the bloody program, and then you create it as you go. And Steph already does that.
No, it was really amazing because you suggested that I start off with part of an enrollment conversation, which I did, and I asked them what their vision for their own health is and what they would like. And what they all said was, without knowing what my program was about, they wanted more energy. And I was like, okay, this is great.
Right. And that's always a good thing to do. Like, so Lisa had an unusual situation where she was able to do a hybrid enrollment conversation, get to know them a little, and then present. We don't always have that if we're doing a full-blown webinar, so you can do that by surveying your audience and just, like, even just a small group or putting some stuff out on Facebook and, like, if somebody could design the perfect program for you to help you with, what would it be? And to get some information like that, because then Lisa was able to take their language that they used and then weave that in through her presentation. So I think it's awesome. And then you knew you were on the right track. You weren't going to go down the stream of, oh, diabetes and, oh, you know, digestive health. You were going, really focusing on what they needed. So congratulations. Yay. I can't wait to hear how it went. And I I'm going to put this out, and this is for everybody. If they say no, they're not rejecting you. Okay? And if they say no, your job is then to understand why, what their biggest objections are. Okay? And then you can see if, oh, well, we can handle that or we can handle that or we can shift it because it's personalized for you. But to really understand their objections, because even if it is a flat-out no for them, you'll know for the next time. It's all a learning experience. So no is just as much of a learning experience or probably more than yes.
Yeah. No, it was really big hurdle that I jumped
over. Yay! And how do you feel?
Well, actually, I feel really good. I mean, I think the presentation wasn't overly long. I hadn't been able to time it because I was still finishing it up even shortly before I presented. And but the whole thing didn't take longer, with their questions and everything, didn't take longer than an hour, hour and 10 minutes. So it was really
Perfect.
Fine in terms of time.
Perfect.
And my feeling was good. They were following. I checked in with them a lot during the thing and asked them if everything was okay and blah, blah. And then I was quite happy that they asked so many questions. I thought, well, at least they were listening and they really are asking, you know, they were asking a lot of questions. So
Super.
I just thought, well, yeah, at least I got some engagement, and then let's just hope one or two or more of them sign up.
Fantastic. Thank you. And congratulations. So, Allison.
Hi, everybody. I have recovered from my viral flu in the last 3 weeks. And my two successes, one success is that I've actually more or less managed to get to sleep at a reasonable time for the last is a real achievement for me. Okay, so reasonable time was often 11:30 rather than 10:30. But even when I was really, really ill, I still wasn't necessarily doing this. So that's great. And then I've reviewed my stats. Social media posts. Now, I had a free trial of Meet Edgar from Reader 17. And for the months prior to that, looking at Twitter alone, I had in 2 months, series, in two retweets. In the 2 weeks following of the free trial, 29 follows and 25 retweets and likes.
Wow.
And so it's a massive transformation. So I signed up in a month and started scheduling in some tweets. So Meet Edgar uses, it's like Hootsuite, as I've used previously for posting to social media. But the great thing about Meet Edgar is that it can keep the memory and recycle them. And that's what you want to do, because not everybody will catch your
Twitter tweet
when you put it out once. But if you keep that several times over 6 months, then it can do. Makes sense.
Well, keep us posted on it, because I've seen it and I've never really looked into it. So good for you. Good for you. And, you know, when you can start to expand that reach, that's expanding your marketplace. It's not like you're just marketing internally to the people you've already had contact with, so it really helps you to expand. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good increase in reach. So it's just a matter of then how does that convert into getting people into your funnels, which we have to get working on finishing up. So, cool.
Absolutely.
And thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better. I know.
Yeah.
It's hard when, and you know, I think it's just a big slap in the face wake-up call, right? When you keep pushing and pushing and pushing and you're not listening to the voice of reason for slowing down, nature of the universe makes it happen. And I've had it happen to me several times. You know, once was with a bronchitis, and once was with a sprained ankle, and another time was with a broken arm. So, you know, it's just easier on the body if we could just heed that and really heed the voice of self-care and know that self-care is not optional. It's absolutely mandatory. It's not just a luxury. it's absolutely necessary. So, good lesson. Thank you. And Steph.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hello.
There you are.
Hi. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm doing all right. I think I've been pretty productive this past few weeks. And so
but pick one thing that you're happy about. I don't want them all right. I want, hey, I did this and I'm proud of it, or I love it, or it.
All right.
Yeah.
That's harder to do. So, okay. I think that the Candida matrix that I made is pretty useful, and I love
awesome.
It.
Yes. So, I'm going to have you go here. We're going to teach Steph how to really step into her power and own success, okay? So I created this Candida matrix, and I'm really excited about it, okay? That's enough. You're not judging it. You're not saying it's the best thing in the world, so I know that's harder for you to say, but how about that? I've created this Candida matrix, and it's going to be so helpful, and I'm really excited.
Okay, I've created this Candida matrix, and I'm really excited about it.
Cool. article. It looked cool. It looked, you know, unique. I liked your handouts because they're unique. So you've got a cool way of thinking about it that is definitely different and makes it a little bit more fun for people. Especially I read some of those things, those quotes. They were very cute.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, good. Okay, so we're going to go around. And I, you know, before we do, I just would really just like to hear, just hear some energy around congratulations for everybody else. So just, you know, you'd all shout out at once. It doesn't matter, but I just want to bring the energy up to really, you are all high achievers, and you're all very self-critical. And I think that you really need to own your brilliance and be good with the little accomplishments, because every little accomplishment leads to a bigger accomplishment, and it's all good, you know. It's not like you climb Mount Everest in one step. So can we just give each other some rah-rahs and 1, 2, 3 on the count of 3? 1, 2, 3.
Congratulations, Lisa, for your webinar.
Congratulations, everybody, for everything you've done.
Congratulations for actually checking your social media stats. Like,
yeah, I know, that's really cool. That's really cool. And we are awesome. How about that? Can we all say that? Can you actually get those words to spit out of your mouth? We are awesome.
We are awesome.
We are awesome. Awesome. We're changing
our
lives, guys. We have the stuff that we want to do, and that's why we're so hard on ourselves. But the impact that you're all making is huge. It's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you know. Okay? So just really take every step you take is awesome. Don't think about what you didn't do. Don't think about what's left on your to-do list. I told one of my clients the other day she had to take 3 things off her to-do list and then hide the rest of it. And when she finished those 3 things, she could look at the to-do list and then add 3 more and then hide it. Because if she kept looking at it, she just got overwhelmed by what she didn't do. So I wanted her to have that sense of accomplishment with the 3 things. And 3 things are easy to keep track of. It's easy to do in a day, you know, and just make yourself, give yourself that feeling. Oh, yeah, I just took 3 more steps. Great. I just took 3 more steps. Can you all do that?
Can I share something with you guys on this?
Sure.
I'm in another group that Dr. Srini Pillai has started, and, you know, he's trying to get us to tap the untapped power of our brains. And apparently on one of the calls that I was unable to make, he specifically mentioned that he was very proud of my initiative in the group, and somebody had posted about that, and I was like, really? And because I had no idea. And what we started talking about was this idea of I mentioned that part of that is that I've been getting a lot of mentoring and business coaching over the past several months and how much that helps me, because the accountability makes me step up to higher expectations. And it's also part of being in this very small group, because we're all working at such a high level, just being in this group makes me do more. It pushes me to be better and to do more. And when I posted, you know, something about that, this other woman was like, yeah, I think that's what I need too. And we really don't think how valuable it is. But it's huge. It's huge, because it makes me do better. It makes me do more, and it makes me do better.
Yep. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, it's the power of the group, and it's the power of, you know, it's interesting that ideas flow with a group. So if somebody comes to me privately and asks me a question, I may think about that, and I may come some answers, but I feel like when it's in a mastermind, that's why I love the mastermind that we're going to do in May, is somebody may ask me a question in that realm, and it's like I'm tapping into the brilliance of everybody in the room, and this, you know, stuff comes through me, and sometimes I'm like, where did that come from? And that's the power of being in the group. And one person says something and it stimulates an idea from another, and that's what we want to do with each other, is just stimulate that magic. Like when I would never thought of doing a combined preview call and an enrollment conversation in one, but when Lisa said, oh, I'm doing this, and I said an enrollment conversation, but she said, oh, there's 4 people. Oh, so then we came up with this model of a hybrid, right? So now she's got this hybrid model of an enrollment conversation and a preview call, which would only came out of the opportunity. And I applaud you for recognizing that. So with that, I'm going to have Diane just get started. And we're going to time so we don't, you know, go over and everybody gets an opportunity. And you can go a little bit over and a little bit under, but I just want to make sure that we get everybody a chance. And I really would like you to think about what's one thing that you need help with that's holding you back right now or that you need some feedback on that the group can help you with. So Diane, go for it.
Okay, I'm not sure how the group can help me on this, but I know Steph has a lot of experience with it. My biggest block right now is like not knowing which tools to use. Like I know I'm going to be launching a program, and so I'll be doing a webinar, and you know I don't know the best place to start. Like which is the best webinar to get? Exactly what kind of tech I need to have in place, what kind of audio, video, whatever programs to create the content. So the content I can create.
So the tech is easy. So that if you've got the hard part handled, the tech is actually the easy part. We can certainly explore that. We could talk about what the different tools other people are talking about. I can tell you my perspective, if you want to just jump right in there, because if you're going to do a webinar, it depends on what you want to do on the webinar. Do you want to be able to show slides? If so, that eliminates certain platforms. Do you want to be able to alternate between slides and visuals, or where you like holding up foods and showing them stuff so they'd actually have to see you? Or do you just want audio? So do you know yet what you want?
I'm sure that slides will definitely be part of it. As for switching back and forth, I'm not sure at this point. We're thinking it's most likely going to be like a PowerPoint.
Okay.
Slide presentation.
Okay. Yeah, so I would say start with the simplest technology that you need rather than trying to deal with like something like Webinar Jam and Google Hangouts if you don't really need the parts that they have. And there's free stuff and there's paid stuff. So Instant Teleseminar is by far, I think, the easiest to use for just simple slide presentations. The disadvantage is that when they record it, it's in their proprietary format, so you can't edit them. So that's the disadvantage of that. The way we get around it is I will be recording my screen while I'm doing that using something like Camtasia, and there's other kind of recording devices that you can use depending on whether you're on a Mac or a PC.
Okay, we may have Camtasia. I think we do.
Then it just becomes a matter of showing that. Yeah, so what I do is I'll take Instant Teleseminar, I'll have the slides get uploaded as a PDF, and then you just show them. It's very easy. You go into the slide controller, and then it's a box, and it's the right size, so it's the right size for the image you want to create. And then I just take Camtasia recorder, and I click record. And, you know, you have to set the box around so that it surrounds the area that you want to go through. And then you have a recording that you can go back and edit later. Now, if you don't want all that hassle, if you don't think you're going to need to edit them right away, you just use the Instant Teleseminar, and then you take your slides and the audio recording from Instant Teleseminar, and it's very, very easy, and I'm sure Deborah could figure it out because she's techie, is to just insert the slides into that presentation. And we do that all the time when we, like, change the format of the slides or whatever. We give somebody the set of slides, here's the recording, just go put the slides in. So There's a number of ways. One's easier than the next. And then anybody else has other tools other than, because Instant Teleseminar is like $50 a month, and I think there's other things that you can do that are free, cheap to free to show it. I think Allison or Steph may have some ideas on that as well.
Yeah.
So either of you have some thoughts on the good resources for that? I'd stay away from GoToWebinar because it's like $100 a month.
Yeah. I mean, I used Join Me for my thing, but it was live, right? And then when I did the research, and Allison had told me about Any Meeting, but Webinar Jam seems to have all the features in it that one needs, and it's not that expensive.
Yeah, so that's another option because it is like 200 and is it 300 a year or something for Webinar Jam?
Yeah.
It is a little more techy to figure out. The problem with Webinar Jam is that there is a delay factor, so you just have to get used to the fact that when you say it and you say, does anybody have questions, you're not going to see it until like 30 seconds to a minute later. So like when I'm doing it, like I did that other day with Dr. Wilson, I'd say, okay, so any questions? And he was like just looking and saying, oh, I don't see any questions. And I had to tell him that, oh, yeah, the questions will be there. Let's just chat about something else in the meantime. So the first time you do that, you're like, nobody likes me. They don't even have questions. So and we can chat about that also at your VIP day, so we can just kind of look at, okay, this we'll lay out what you want to do, and I'll have a better picture of what you need, and we can look at the technology that would be helpful. One of the things that I'm going to be doing at the end of March is I offered a bonus at Shine that I'm also going to give everybody that was signed up before that. Not everybody that didn't qualify at Shine or got signed up after, but that anyway that was already in the program before will get this bonus, which is I'm going to show you how to do an online food demo class or any kind of demo class that you wanted to, whether it was label reading, food demo, clean out your pantry, whatever. But I'm going to show you how to do it, and it's going to be on the day of one of our Webinar Jam kitchen shows. And so I'll show you how we're setting it up, and then we'll flow right into that. So you get to see that. And Diane, you'll be here next Saturday for that. So we can actually show you the back end of the Webinar Jam and how you would do it and how you could use it with your slides if you wanted to. So we can show you that.
That will be wonderful. Yeah, I was just hoping to like get some ideas of, things we could start looking into to see what people use, so we can start researching what might meet our needs. So thank you.
Yeah, so things you can look at that are lower price. Zoom, join me. You can show, but again, it's a proprietary format, and we haven't even figured out how to do anything with that because. Yeah, you can't do any editing with it once you get the recording. It's on their platform.
And I know there's also Google Hangout.
And then Google Hangout, Webinar Jam, Google Hangout is free, and then Webinar Jam is a platform that allows you to do some amazing things with Google Hangout.
Okay.
Yeah, it allows you to schedule, and there's some marketing things in there, and you can tag, and there's all kinds of cool stuff you can do with it. So I have all of these things, so...
There's
lots to choose from. Any meeting is quite expensive.
Yeah, some of them are expensive.
That's really good.
I'm sorry. So I just heard Allison and I heard Steph. So Allison, finish up. Did you talk about a particular resource? And then Steph will go ahead.
Webinar Jam, when you did the call last week, looked really good because you've got the texting. See, I like the texting that helps you create more community than you get with simply instant teleseminar.
Yes.
And if it's only 300, it's a lot cheaper than any meeting at the level that I've got it with recordings. So far, I've been happy with any meeting, but that things could be improved. So I'll keep researching as I have done for the last 5 years.
Yeah. And we're like kind of married to instant teleseminar right now because we've got all our recordings in there. The beauty of it is you don't have to download you could just send them to the page for the recording. So that saves you a lot of time. And my first programs, we didn't have all the fancy stuff we have now. It was just we had an embedded instant teleseminar link and people went there to get it. So there's all kinds of easy ways to get started. And then there's Free Conference Pro, which actually has a paid level, which incorporates screen share, so you may want to look into that one too. And you can just start researching them, and I can give you some feedback as to what is going to be easiest for your needs. And then Steph?
Yeah, so I guess the main difference that I've noticed between Instant Teleseminar and something like Webinar Jam is, do you want to have people talking to you on the phone, like to ask questions and raise their hand by pressing *2? Like there's like a group of people that only want to connect on the phone and ask questions on the phone. And it's cool to hear their voice.
Yes.
And sometimes people don't want to have their video, like they don't want to do that on the Webinar Jam platform, and it's more difficult.
Right, because of the video, they don't want to be seen.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's harder to facilitate on the Webinar Jam. There's all kind of, you have to wait and there's the delay and it's not as clean to do that. That's a good point. There are ways to hybridize, though, and we've done that. So I'll say, if you can't make, if you don't have access to the computer, go online, and I will actually, you know, from my end, it's like, wow, I have to make sure I have all the buttons pressed right. So I have the phone on speakerphone, and then I'm broadcasting, and the people that are listening in on Instant Teleseminar can hear me there. And then I have to have them on speaker if they ask a question so the people on the web can hear, and sometimes you forget to hit the speaker. And so there's a few things that you run into with it, right? So it takes a little coordination, but that's the way I get around it, is to hybridize them. And so from now on, any public things that I do a hybrid where people can be on the phone. But that is a good point. And that, you know, I just wish Instant Teleseminar would just, if they would just upgrade and be able to do live video on there and also be able to do the chat, because they tried that for a while and their chat, like, died and it never came back. And that's why we use usually Join Me plus Instant Teleseminar, so we can have the chatting, which I think is really valuable.
So
you would think,
so
it would
Steph,
be easy for someone to have all this.
You would think that, because there's no one perfect platform.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you would think it would be
hybrid,
easy.
You use a hybrid too, right, Steph?
You know, I have on occasion. I find I want it to be simpler than that. And
yeah.
I would rather use one system with flaws. And what I've decided is, if people can't, like, watch a thing on the computer and type their question, they're probably not going to be, like, a really good fit for my program.
So did I do a program, Nina? That's really the point.
So
really
I just
point.
Let
like
it
that.
Go.
I like that. I'm
but
really one. Yeah, I like that. One system with flaws. I wrote that down. That, yeah, I get that. One system that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like choosing a life partner. You have to figure out, you know, which flaws you're willing to live with and which ones you're not.
Yeah.
But which one do you use?
So true, though, right? Who cares about the toothpaste cover on? You know, there's other things that are more important than that.
Yeah.
Which one are you using, Steph?
Okay, so I'm using Maestro for some stuff, which has apparently got screen share, but it doesn't give priority to the speed of the screen share and the slides on there, and so the quality isn't always, it depends on the call. The quality isn't super awesome, but it does allow people to call in. And then I have Webinar Jam where it's, yeah, I mean, I like it's cleaner. It feels cleaner to me, but then people will email and complain about not being able to raise their hand.
Yeah. You know, the people are going to complain about it no matter what. So that's why I asked, it really depends on what you want to offer. Like, I don't use the screen share on Maestro because the time I tried to test it with somebody, and I was testing it with somebody who's, like, pretty technical, and it was just a pain to figure out what you actually was supposed to do to set it up because there were multiple steps, and I'm thinking, all my brain fog people are not going to be able to do this very easily.
Right.
So I didn't bother with it. And I like Maestro. The reasons I liked Maestro and started it in the first place is because I wanted to be able to do breakouts, and I know you've used that, and I've used it a few times, and I want to start using it more where you have a big call and you break people out into groups, and then they do, like, focus things that we would do in a live event.
Yeah.
I haven't been using it as much, but the thing I like about Maestro is I know exactly who's in because it's their number, whereas on Instant Teleseminar, I'm going, hi, Mary, and like, this is Fred. Like, oh, sorry about that. Your car ID shows Mary, and some of them show nobody, and some of them are anonymous, and it's challenging, and there's no two-way conversation. So I suppose I should go back and try using that again. Maybe they've made it easier at least to use the chat on Maestro directly. So, but it seemed to me like it was a whole separate platform anyway. It's almost like it's not really integrated in. It's like it's just
as crazy
as using a separate platform.
Yeah. It's like you have to click this thing and use another password, and like it's,
yeah.
I don't use it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't either.
But the breakouts, yeah.
Take home is,
take
you know, really
message.
Get in touch with what you want to be presenting and what's the the features you want and what are your most important features, and then find something that has that, and you may end up with two different things that you use one versus another.
Okay. That'll be my homework over the next month.
Okay. Cool.
Research.
All right.
Features.
Thank you. You're welcome. So who is next? Lisa. Looks like somebody else came on.
I don't have anything that I'd like to have help with. I just would like to share some observations I've made, if that's okay, about myself.
Sure.
I'm not as open as everybody else. I haven't lived in America for a really long time, and American people are very, very open. And I live in very, very closed Switzerland, and you learn to become very closed about yourself because people are closed here. And, you know, it takes time to ask people questions, to get them to come out and everything, and I didn't realize to what extent I had become closed as well, being in this environment, but learning to be more open, joining Facebook, and I admire Steph's openness and putting it out there when she needs help with something, but I'm a little bit different. I get anxious if I get too much input, and I'd rather have input just from Dr. Rita Marie and then I can cope with that, but if I get a lot of input from various different people and it all may be very, very valuable, I'll get just too anxious. And what I had to do with a lot, I just got overwhelmed. And then because then I think, oh, I'm doing this wrong, I could be doing that, I could be doing that. And I already have too many ideas, and I need it to be sort of focused in order to actually produce something, as opposed to ending up with a million ideas but nothing actually produced, you know, or done. And I had to revert to the way I was when I did final exams, just shut things out just so that I could really get this done. Because when I was doing finals, I didn't have work, I didn't have a kid and all that, and also now with current clients, I have very limited time. So I had to really, dig deep and shut things out. And I am, learning to get out there more and say things, but it's very hard for me to just put it. And also I can't get too much input or I get, overwhelmed. So that's just the way, and it's not that I don't want input, it's just that I can't cope with it, so when you, for example, Dr. give me very specific things, and I just go on and I do it, and that's actually enough for me when I'm in the creative mode or when I'm in the correction mode or whatever. And then what I said in the beginning, I really need real clients in order to produce things. Otherwise, it's just too abstract for me, and I don't really need to get it done. It needs to get done at some point, but it just sits there in my computer not finished. And so that's what I need actually, is to have real clients. And I'm going to be doing it very small, on a small scale, and then building it up from there. I followed Steph's launch. It was fantastic. I attended the webinar and actually bought the program. It's a great program, the Core Reset. But I was overwhelmed. I thought to myself, I can't do this. This is just too much for me. When I compared, I don't have a program like that, but I put myself in that position. And so I need to start in a different way because, a big group of 80 people was just too much for me. So I didn't ever think that it would be, but all of a sudden it was too much. So I'm just starting off the way I can start off, which is small. And if I have a small group starting off with an online program, that's great. And then I think I'll get confidence. The program will get created, and then it's there. Then I can start marketing it to bigger groups and figuring it all out step by step. And it's just, learning that about myself. I also have another online program that I just created for a low-end program. It was 89 euros for weight loss. Weight loss is something I kind of always avoided. I didn't want to do it, but a lot of my clients want weight loss programs. And especially the young sort of 20-year-olds, they don't want to spend more than, say, 90 euros on a program. And my daughter, who's really into social media, in fact, she works at a magazine doing their social media, that's the sort of price range this age category looks for. And so I've created a program, weight loss, and it just sort of menus, and I feel I'm not doing justice to the people because I'm not getting into all the health and everything. But some people just want the how-to, menu, blah, blah. And I'm still deciding whether I want to do that or not because I got a lot of questions, about carbs and everything. And perhaps as a bonus, I can just do, education about carbs and fat and, what they are and the protein and what they should choose. But I still feel kind of bad because I don't haven't dealt with them, you know, holistically. And
I hear you on that one. And do you mind if we chat about that for a couple of minutes?
No, it'd be great because it's really a dilemma for me because I'm thinking of getting rid of that program and doing another one, also inexpensive, but a little bit better in terms of taking care of the people, the whole body, you know.
You got to meet with people where they're at and open their eyes to the fact that there's more. And it's awesome that they're asking those questions. But you right away went to, maybe I'll add a bonus. Why don't you add a 7 to 10 euro upsell, which is a little, and you could do it as a webinar that you teach them about that. And then you can get it transcribed and you could create it into a little workbook handout, whatever. And then you can sell it, and that could be one of your lead gens. Like they come in and they opt in and you immediately offer them this little $7 thing that you created out of the opportunity that these people presented. And then from there, you know, if those people want more, then you can engage them in when you have these other programs, you know, the next level program. Because I would envision what you're creating for this small group that's maybe in the, you know, $1,200 to $1,500 range because you're giving them personalized coaching. But the content you create for that could be created into a, you know, $300 to $500 program with some group coaching calls or Q&A calls. And you've got this low-end program that you can offer them a little upsell, but that upsell can then turn into a lead gen entry into a different funnel.
Oh, okay. That's great. That sounds like a good idea. It'll all link up then.
It'll all link up. So, yeah, it's nice to give people unannounced bonuses, but on the other hand, you know, sometimes you just, they pay more attention if they're paying it, and, you know, $7 or 7 euros or whatever is an easy, you know, it's a cup of coffee, right? They can easily spend that.
Yeah.
And then you know who's serious, and then you know how to market to them later.
Yeah, and I didn't know how much access to give in terms of email contact. And it was really the first couple of weeks, it was a lot of questions about, you know, can I eat this, can I eat that, you know, pictures of the various foods that would send me, and I would just make a quick, you know, it didn't take me long. But then I realized.
Did you answer them privately?
Well, you know, I didn't know how much, I just sold the program with email access. I didn't know how much email access to give.
Okay.
But no sort of private calls, just email questions.
Yeah, but still no access at that price range, like private access to you at that price range is probably more than it should be. So you'd probably spend less time, like this time's good because you got it. Now you've got those questions. These are the questions that people are asking. So instead of not doing it again, what you do is you create a bonus or you create a coaching call or something that you're going to add to the program that answers those questions.
Okay.
Yeah, those kind of launches, you know, Jeff Walker, who does all this product launch stuff, he calls them seed launches. You know, you put out a program and you use the feedback from the people that go through it in order for you to create a better program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say was not related to what you said before that bonus thing. You said something else. When you look at what people are wanting, what they're needing, we have this picture of we want them to have this ideal health, and we want them to look at all these factors and the mental and the emotional, the environmental and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's too much for them, for a lot of them. Right? My ideal clients, that's what I want them to be. I want them to be ready for that. I want them to have gone through and done the treasury first. But if you're getting more mainstream folks into the fold, you know, just you introducing them to the fact that this isn't just a fad diet where you're going to drink cabbage soup for 3 weeks or you're going to take all these pills and, you know, eat everything you want or skip meals or whatever. It's a real sound approach that's nutrition-based, opens up their eyes to it. And then you can, you know, you can hint in there and you could talk to them about it. You could do even follow-up emails and even emails to the group if they're all going through it at the same time where you just send out little information. Like, with how many weeks is it? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
The weight loss program is a 6-week.
Okay, so 6 weeks. So you create an email for each week and just go back and look at the questions, and you just send an email if they're in week one, you know, and you just kind of, you can seed those little things that you want them to be thinking about later.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it that way, if it's 6 weeks, then the next time you do it, instead of offering email support, which is your private time, you know, it eats up your time. Even if it is only a little bit here, a little bit there, it does eat up your time because it's an interrupt-driven thing, is that you incorporate that into your weekly emails. Like, oh, I got these 5 questions last time about these particular things in week one and these particular things in week two. And then you just do an email or a little recording. You go on Audio Acrobat or some kind of free recording device, and you just, like I'm doing this with Metabolic Reset with before. I just go and say, hey, everybody, it's day 15. Congratulations. Here you are. This is so awesome. And I give them some motivation. So I get, you know, I can kind of answer the objections that I know come up at these different points. And so if you watch what those people are asking this time, you create a really cool little entry program that's going to get them to know you. And don't think lie of that. That they're really going to get to know you. They're either going to like you or not. Face it, right? Some of them are going, oh, I don't like this, and some of them are going to like, they're just going to be your followers, and they're going to want to buy anything you ever do.
Mm-hmm. It's called Audio Acrobat to do recording?
Yeah, Audio Acrobat, but there's others. I mean, you just, the reason I like Audio Acrobat, and I, you know, again, I'm like married to them because they got all these recordings in there, and it would take me time to get them out, but it's $20 a month. But there's other ways that you can just go into your computer and create a recording. You just go in, if you have Camtasia or anything like that, or if you have Instantel Seminar or Free Conference Pro even. You just set up a little conference that's just you, and you just talk into it.
Oh,
and you create a message. It's very easy to create audio messages. Audio Acrobat gives you a way that they create a little player, and you don't have to download it to your site. And so when I first started out, it was awesome because I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. So all I had to do was take their link, and I could give them. And that is the beauty of it. But it is $20 a month, so.
Well, I'm spending a lot on a lot of different things. So
I know, so that's why I don't know that that's the best choice. I mean, you could just get some free recorder. Anybody have anything that they use to record audios that's free?
I use GarageBand on my Mac.
GarageBand? Are you a Mac, Lisa, or are you a PC?
I'm PC.
Yeah.
okay.
I would just look up free audio recording software.
I have Audacity. I haven't
Audacity,
really done much with it. Yeah, I haven't done a lot with it, but it was free.
Yeah, I remember that one. That one's, yeah. So just something that's free. Because you don't need to be paying another. Because those $20 charges a month add up.
Oh, I know. I just took my taxes.
I have a couple of $1,000 worth of $20 a month charges, and it's crazy. So... And then you get locked into it. You don't think about it at the time. Like you get locked into it because then you have this history of all these files that are there. And sure, you can go download them, but then you have to pay somebody to go in and download them for you. So anyway, I just pay the $20 a month and use it periodically.
But that's a really good idea. Thank you. So I'll just take this as a learning experience and then create a sort of a self program that stands on alone without direct private access.
Without any private contact, and you can just sell it. Yeah. They can get into it when they want. And this is the week one message. This is the week two message. And this is the content for the 6 weeks. And, yep, and it could be just a nice little thing. And, you know, eventually we can talk about you getting, you know, driving traffic to it through Twitter, through Facebook, through any other kind of social media. For summits, it's ideal. It's an ideal price point for offering things on summits when they want something. And I always want like a $100 product.
Yeah, on Instagram. My daughter said Instagram. And so I was trying to, she's got to help me do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not really adept with Instagram.
Okay.
That's where a lot of it's, she buys workouts, and she was at the gym and she saw other people with similar workouts, and so they're buying it all through Instagram.
I've heard Instagram, especially they like pictures, so your food pictures, like you take pictures of your meals and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. So the start of the year has been good. I mean, I don't have tons and tons of clients and things, but at least I've got some, and I've got two, things going in the online way, which is what I wanted to do. So, yeah, it's been a good start. I just hope that it keeps going like this.
Right. Yeah. And it will. It will.
Yeah.
It's just, I just like to correct languages, right? So when you say, I hope it keeps going, you're putting the control out there.
Yeah.
I intend for it to keep going is much more empowering.
I intend for it to keep going.
Good. And we intend for it for you. Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
So we'll go to Allison and then Steph. Allison. Are you on mute?
Yes, I'm muted myself. Hello, guys. Thank you.
Hello.
I posted those things for Diane to research on the NEPA where I'm
good.
So my challenge is not very specific. I'm afraid it's a bit woolly. So I have these private clients. I've not got very many of them because I haven't got my act together enough to process them efficiently. I just wondered how other people cope with their private clients, how they keep tabs on them. I know I have the software system to do it, but I haven't put the time in to make that work yet. And that's so frustrating. So with each private client, you've got to have time to research their labs, to decide what labs they're going to get done, to go through their questionnaires, and to plan their management even before you've had a session with them. And it just all seems so overwhelming. And to come up with a management plan, but then because it's bespoke, they need that tweaking all the time. I know the long-term answer is Rita Marie's system and processing that, of other people are creating leverage programs, and I know that where I'm going to have private clients, but they're going to be the high-end ones who know what to do. But I just wondered how people are just getting it together, really. Does that make sense?
It totally does, and I'll tell you, Allison, if I can name one thing that's been the biggest struggle, is that, and I've, like, over the years created this form and this way of doing it and that way of doing it. And the truth of the matter is there's so much to keep track of between labs and then assessments and the forms and just your impressions of them and looking at the various things and what happens during a session. Are you busy taking notes or are you busy being present with them? And so that's been a thing. I know I created the master tracker, and that helps me a lot with keeping track of their supplements, and I always put that in there. I have an appointment tracker where I record their appointments because we do it on Instant Teleseminar, so I always put the link to it in there, although not always for everybody. Like some people don't like to use my little chat box. Some people want to text me, or some people Skype me, and so their messages are all over the place, and then I'm trying to... They'll say, well, on that thing I said to the other day, and then you have to find it. So it is a big deal. I know that's something that Jane actually, I don't know where she is with her project, but she was working with a team to take, you know, the kind of thing that I made and created into some sort of a database type thing. And then I had spoken to a group that allowed you to put your programs on their platform, and then you can keep track of things, but they were supposed to get back to me, and we never really got back to it to see if it really would be a match for us. I actually gave her access to one of my programs that she was going to see if she could actually put it in. So it is a big thing. So I think you just have to find what works for you. If you tend to be more of a paper thing, you know, is having a summary sheet. So, for example, what I have in that master tracker is when I have them fill out all the forms that say, you know, the different scores for the different parts of their body, I actually take those scores and I have a column for a date, and then I put all those scores in, and I created that piece, and you've got access to it where the change is colored to see if it's alarm or good or whatever, similar to the blood tracker. And then, you know, 2 months later you could do it again, because that helps them to see on paper, well, I know you said you don't feel like you've really gotten much better, but look at your score here. It's way better. Over here you haven't changed so much, so we need to work on it. So using that isn't, you know, you say down the road, that could be a thing to do, but I would say pick and choose the tabs in there that would make sense to you. Reorganize it. You can put the ones that are not making sense to you now at the end. You don't have to delete them. You might find them useful later. And then you know, see what works. Like keeping track of people's supplements. So if you're going through and analyzing their labs or whatnot before you actually talk to them or analyzing their input, you're getting ideas of, oh, God, this person's probably vitamin D deficient, or this person, you know, probably needs to have this test done. And so I would even start with just jotting those things down as you're going through their paperwork and then an organizational system. Does that make sense? Because there is no perfect one. I use Evernote. I know it's not HIPAA compliant or anything at all, but I use Evernote to take notes during my client calls because I can do it on my iPad and then it's accessible wherever I am. I don't generally look at the notes that often because, you know, it's usually the act of writing it helps me to cement it in my brain. But there, you know, it's really a matter of what is it that you need to keep track of. And then as you're going through their paperwork, there's certain things that are jumping out at you that you want to take a note of on a different form. I've gone through all kinds of forms. You know, like there's one in there called the system tracker, if that works for you. But if not, think about what it is that you need to keep track of. And then do it on a piece of paper with boxes and write things down. And then as you see this and do this a few times, you go, oh, this would make a really good form that I could keep track of them on.
Yeah. So I know that Coach's Console can keep most of it together. So if I combine that with the Master Health Tracker and with the blood chemistry solutions thing as well,
yes,
that should work. But
oh, yeah, I forgot about Coach's Console. You have that. That is an awesome way of keeping track of stuff.
Yeah, Coach's Console is brilliant. It's just putting people in the first place and keeping it going. It's just my usual having too much to do and therefore not doing any of it well. And I just really need, at this point, to metamorphosis to becoming better, because I'm just not giving my clients what they need at all, and I'm just such a disappointment to myself because you know, there's one patient I saw for the first time 3 weeks ago. She's somebody that I've known. She used to be a teacher of one of my kids, and and I saw her while I was sort of in the midst of this cold, so I was a bit fogged up, and we arranged that I would sort out for her to have the Genova delivery testing sent out to her. And I haven't done it yet because I'm just not there and not in the headspace. And in order to get through medical school and everything, I had to be extremely rigidly left-brained and perfectionist about these things. I did everything correctly. And I was even treasurer for a women's group called Women in Medicine, and I made sure everybody gave me their receipts before they got a check and all of that. And yet, since I've been doing this more creative stuff, my brain's gone all like porridge or something. Does that make sense?
Allison,
you know,
wait a second.
Trying to get the dance right. Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I don't want to just gloss over this, because you just said you have the skill set. You have the skill set, but you're not applying it. So we need to get to the heart of why are you not applying that skill set to this creative part. You can still have your it's like creative structure. So what is it that kept you from calling in and ordering a lab? What's holding that back?
Feeling flu.
Feeling what?
Not putting her, feeling fluey, feeling this viral infection. And not putting her into Coach's Console in the first place, so she's not there reminding me. And then not having the agreement set up on Coach's Console so I could send her out an agreement in the invoice.
Okay, so but what's holding you back on that, Allison? I know you have a cold and you've had a cold, but this isn't the first time this has happened, right?
No, it's happening all the time. And I'm trying to get rid of the clutter so that I can think clearly. But that takes time too. And I'd set aside 4 days this weekend to do that. And instead, I was just in misery with this stupid viral infection until Monday. And then I had to drive
to what does the clutter have to do with you sitting at the computer and entering this person's name and information into Coach's Console? How long would it take you to do that?
About 10 minutes.
Okay, Okay, so 10 minutes. And why would you have to clean clutter for 4 days to do something that takes you 10 minutes to do?
It's just that there's too many things that take 10 that I've got to do.
Right, that's right. So that goes back to what we said right at the beginning. You've got a to-do list that's about 3 miles long.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. You're not prioritizing. Do you have all your to-do lists written down, or is it all spinning in your head?
I've got them written down, and I've also got a summary to-do list, which just allows me to have 3 major tasks for each day and 6 minor tasks, which are left at high priority.
Okay, so how come this setting up this person and ordering her labs didn't make it to one of those lists?
It's been on the list 3 times, but it's been not the one of the 3 most important tasks, and I didn't get past the 3 most important tasks.
Okay, so this is a 10-minute task. This is a person you want to coach with. And in order to move forward with your coaching agreement and arrangement, you need labs with her. So my question is, why didn't that sizzle to the top of the list, especially since it's only a 10-minute task?
Because all the other top 3 things are equally important, like emailing somebody who does bioidentical hormones about another private patient. She's been waiting 3 weeks for me to get that stuff to feed back to her, and I've still not fed back my feedback. I've got the information yesterday, and I've still not fed that back to that private patient.
Okay, so I think what's happening, Allison, is you're just, even though you've written this down and you've separated it out, you're kind of getting lost in the soup of your to-do list, and it's paralyzing you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
what are you afraid would happen if you got efficient and suddenly had this really nice private practice going?
I would feel better about myself.
You would feel better?
I would be less panicking. I would feel better about myself. And I would start to actually be making money rather than losing money. And I would start to create a reputation for myself properly. And I would
also... What are you afraid of with that? Because those are all good things, but there's something under that that's sabotaging you.
I'm afraid that I'm not good enough
to
give them the answers they want. I'm afraid that I don't have the answers they want. I'm afraid I can't make it all a success for them. I'm just not good enough.
Okay. So what is it going to take for you to feel like you are good enough?
Oh, about another 100,000 courses, I would think, probably.
Yeah. So this is Allison, high achiever, super student. Will you ever have all the answers for everybody that walks in your door?
Never.
Never. Do you have enough smarts and enough knowledge to be able to look at something that comes in your door that's a little confusing and be able to look up and find the resources and go through a process to help that person?
Yes.
Okay. So don't keep flooding your brain with more courses. You don't need more courses. I mean, you've got everything you need within this program and within your medical education and within your abilities as a problem solver. We've seen that by the quote, the advice you've given people when things come up on the Facebook group. So really where your work needs to be is letting go and talking to that part of you that feels you're not good enough. It's just part of you, Allison. It's not all of you. There's a part of you that is getting benefit from keeping you stuck there.
Yeah.
And have a conversation with that. You're good at that. You know how to connect to guides. you sit down with your notebook and you write the letter A and you ask a question. Like, what is it going to take for you to feel like I'm good enough? And I, you know, would call it something like your inner critic or something like, I always call it my inner critic. I talk to my inner critic.
Yeah.
So you write, I see, and then you wait, and you have an answer come, and then you ask another question, and you have it, and you have a conversation with that. And there may be just something that comes out of that conversation that allows you to make an agreement with your inner critic that you're not going to do anything dumb, that you're not going to get anybody pissed off at you, that you have it all. You have all the resources you need to get the answers. And if you don't, you're going to research it. That's how we all learn. I don't have all the answers in my head. I'm constantly looking things up and constantly making new connections. And you have a brain to do that. You have the ability to do that. You have people that you could call on with questions. Right? You don't need any more courses at all. You just need to step into this. And you know the Marianne Williams quote about our biggest fear is not being a failure. It's being brilliant beyond our wildest imagination. I don't remember how she says it.
Yeah.
And afraid to really stepping out into your brilliance. And you keep coming up with all these things you have to do. And I believe me, Allison, I speak from love and also from having been there, done that. And I still catch myself. And I have to go, okay, these piles of paper are all over my desk right now, and I have to clean them up before Diane comes next week because I don't want her to see my mess. But I'll probably hide them in a closet. Because I realized that every time I started organizing my desk and organizing papers, it was a stall tactic to keep me from doing what I really needed to do.
Yeah.
And keeping me from stepping into my brilliance. And we all have it. You have it, clearly. So just take 10 minutes and order the frickin' test for her.
Yeah.
And you know, you are paying a fortune to some VA firm. Can you find a local college or high school student that can data enter things into that program for you? Like comes by once a week and you pay them 10 or 20 bucks an hour to do it?
I'm not sure what they can do because I found out from trying to do that with Daniel. I gave him an article on social media to read, and he just said, oh, my goodness, there's so much more to learn than I thought, which is great because it means to me that I know more than I think I do, you know.
Yeah, but that's different, though. Posting an article on social media is different than, here's the paperwork that she filled out. I want you to type this into this form on Coach's Consult. It's a data entry job. Here's the test I need ordered. I need you to go to the Genova site and log in as me and order this test.
Yeah.
Or somebody from Oda.
Hire your son to do it.
Yeah.
It's clearly keeping you from stepping forward.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of those little 10-minute things, they do add up, and you don't have to be doing them. And is there a way for them to fill out forms that go directly into Coach's Consult? Might be worth exploring.
Yeah, I've got some of the forms on Coach's Consult, and at the moment I've also got the personal hormones site, but I'm going to transfer the form from there to Coach's Consult as well.
So you should be able to just get that all in there, right?
Yeah.
Should be easy. But right now, just give it to somebody. Give it to your son to do. Say, can you just go on the site and order this test for me? Maybe it'll take you longer than 10 minutes the first time you ask him to do it. But it's a good investment because the next time he'll be able to do it. I used to do all that myself. I taught Scott how to do it. He I don't deal with any of the labs. He just I say, I need this order. Now we even have it online. They order the test. He orders it. He sends them a kit if we need to send them a kit. And it's done. I used to procrastinate that same stuff. Why? Because it's not in my genius.
Yeah.
And it's just tedious crap work that I don't want to do, just to be perfectly blunt, right? So just get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a $50 an hour VA firm. It just has to be somebody who's got a brain on their shoulders. It doesn't even have to be somebody with a big brain.
Yeah.
Right? They just have to be able to differentiate. I mean, we have VAs in the Philippines now that we have them do a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay,
and
thank you.
Have that conversation with your inner critic.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I'd like to let you get out of it quicker than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Let's move to Steph.
Thank you.
No, you're so welcome. Steph?
Hey. Hi.
You have an inner critic, too, I think.
I think we all do. But, I mean, yeah, Allison Simon, she sounds kind of sad. I just was hearing sadness, too.
Yeah.
Or just not, you know, and, yeah.
Not getting it. Yeah. You want to speak to that, Allison?
It's like you said 6 months ago to me, Dr. Rita Marie, you said that we've got to find the fire that gets under your butt and gets you launching it and really, really inspires you, that vision. And you know, I'm on my way to finding that.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got the physical space constraint, right? You live in this little room. Your free time is like your little closet. There's not much of it because of the, you know, all the different things you're doing. And so, you know, that's the piece where it's challenging to work with that. But I think the other piece is as soon as I heard you say, like I've said that many times before, I've got to spend 4 days dealing with the clutter. And I've got to go to take more courses. That's when I felt I had to, like, step in because that's just an illusion. That's just a stall tactic. Like, how many 10-minute tasks on your to-do list could you do in the time it takes you to clean your clutter? A lot?
Oh, about 200, I would think, maybe more.
I would think. Right? So screw the clutter. Somebody's coming over, you don't want them to see it, get some boxes and put some nice cloths over them. And when you don't, like, go looking for those papers forever, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder what's in that box. It's not anything I've been missing. And then if it is, you go through the box.
Yeah. And a lot of the clutter is important stuff. It's stuff that I've procrastinated about before, like bank statements that I haven't been through and made sure, you know, checked what things are business and what things are personal. And I've got about...
Give it to a bookkeeper. 30. Give it to a bookkeeper.
And I've got about 30 magazines that I think, oh, I need to read that for my personal development or else I need to blog about that. And it's the same place as I was when I burnt out 10 years ago, and then I had about 50 or 100 magazines that I'd kept because each magazine I opened had something that I needed to learn. Anyway, I won't take up any more of Steph's time.
So I am just so totally seeing myself in that, and I have lots of those magazines, and I literally just put them in boxes, and I know that where they are, and I'll go through them if I someday have them, and I have some from, you know, 2001 that I haven't looked at. So don't, get it out of your immediate space. get it out of your immediate space. Okay. One of the best things I did once years ago is I paid $25 an hour to somebody who could come in and just sort through crap. And she could sort through it, and she was a good organizer. So she would just organize my crap into piles. So, you know, these are all bank statement crap, and this is all magazine crap, and this is, you know, and then it's done.
Yeah, my housekeeper's already done that for me about 5 times. Daniel's done that for me once as well. And then before I've had time to sort through them, we have to have some people cook dinner, and I have to put it all together again to make room for the dinner. But, you know, that's just...
That's where boxes come in, or plastic bags, garbage bags. Yeah. Just put each set in a garbage bag and stack them up that way with a sticky note on top. There's ways. Yeah. But in the meantime, really, I think examining the inner critic... And making friends with the inner critic and making promises to the inner critic that you're not going to get yourself into a situation where you're going to get too much flack. You know, you're not going to get yourself into a problem situation. It's all that inner critic is doing is trying to get yourself into out of a position where you might feel embarrassed, that you might feel, you know, you might harm somebody or hurt somebody. And that's all it's trying to do is protect you. And there are other ways that you can make deals with. And I mean,
yeah.
I've dealt
right
with this. Say that again.
You're right there. It's about being afraid that I hurt somebody or harm somebody, and because of these complaints, and because in general practice, people hold you responsible for everything that goes wrong with our health, and this is a different thing, health coaching. You know, this is a different journey, and a different ideal client who actually wants to work with me, rather than wanting to shoulder the blame on me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's that. There's a bit of that fear there. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on to Steph. So thank you, and thank you, Steph, for acknowledging that sadness. And there is some sadness, and there is some frustration and overwhelm and all that. And it's all good. You're going to get through this. And everybody gets through it at their own time, but you do have to take steps to get through it. And breathe. Thank you. Thanks for being so vulnerable and open. And Lisa's probably cringing, going, ugh, I would never talk like I could never admit
well,
that, right?
Thanks everybody for holding the space for me.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Steph, how can we support you today?
Right, so I think I'm pretty specific. I have some specific things I need help with. This time. All right, so I've created these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I'll do it the other way around, but I've created these gifts. I got an ebook, about herbs, three common herbs and what they're really doing to your gut. I've got the Gut Whisperer's Flow Chart, and I've got the Candida Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So got those three things, and I'm going to, by the end of the day today, my goal is to have the emails all written. So I'm going to have, I guess, the first email be about some kind of condition and how it can't be solved without dealing with the bacteria.
Yes. So
or
some kind of condition, right? Like, you mean like depression or fibro or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
It's something that
and
people wouldn't necessarily relate to the gut.
Right. I mean, is fibromyalgia a good one, or is there something better?
What do you feel like, and if you can get this from this audience, like this is for the health practitioners, and this is a series of free gifts that she's going to offer to lead people up to and then offer the program, her gut repair, or gut whatever, balancing program for practitioners. Do you have a name for it yet?
I think it was, so it's Functional Probiotics Solutions for Practitioners.
Functional Probiotics Solutions for Practitioners. Okay, so that these are going to be things that are going to lead up to and get whet people's appetite for and make them feel by the end of the last one in the webinar that I can't live without this, I must sign up for this course. Right? Does that summarize it?
Right. What's the plan?
Right. Okay, so the first one you're going to do is like, something. So anybody have thoughts on what condition she could be writing to them about that there's absolutely her premise. So we're looking at when you create a launch, you want to have a core premise that you're going to stake a claim to, that you believe is true to the death. And the core premise for STEP is that if you don't get these gut bacteria in balance, there's no way that you can really solve all these complex issues that people are coming in with you with, like fibromyalgia, like you know, depression, anxiety, whatever. Is that kind of summarized your core premise?
That's totally my core premise. And
totally
I didn't just
make
it up. I actually am totally sure that's true in my world. Yeah.
Totally sure. She'll go to her grave just taking a claim for that. And so her goal in this pre-launch content is to get everybody buying into that, so much so that they realize how little they know about balancing these gut bacteria, so they know that they have to study with Steph to get this answer happening. So her first piece of core content will be establishing that premise pretty much. Right? And
right.
And you might even just start it with the general, right, and then go to the specific. So, you know, there's so many chronic health conditions that you guys are dealing with on a daily basis, and I wish it was as easy as all we have to do is teach them how to drink water and add more greens to their diet and get off sugar, and they would be, their problems are solved. The truth of the matter is that's not what I'm seeing, probably not what you're seeing either. And so what I believe and what I've found to be absolutely true in my practice is if you don't really get a handle on these bacteria and get the bacterial balance under control, you can't help them find a solution. It's just not going to happen. And then take, for example, and then you can pick one.
Right.
Does that make sense? Okay. Is that kind of where you were going with this?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with this.
Okay.
I'm just trying to find the most relevant example.
So who has some input as to what that most relevant example might be? What are we seeing people dealing with that they may not be related, and practitioners might not even be relating to the balance of their gut bacteria?
I think this is a great idea, Steph, and I think that you've got you're hitting the nail on the head with fibromyalgia. I think so fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue type things where people don't think gut are the biggest headaches that meet practitioners, that GPs sort of say, well, there's nothing else we can do for you, which leaves the client feeling crap, as you know. So if you can show people that you can help with these things, and if you have a series of cases, then that would be really good for different things. But chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia strike me as the first things. Sort of general aches and pains, but that's often fibromyalgia. Maybe headaches.
Right, headaches.
Yeah. And are you planning to do a little video, or are you just going to do email with the free gift?
I'm not totally sure. Actually, I was planning on doing a video, and this morning my puppy jumped up on the couch and scratched my whole face.
Oh, no.
I have, like, a bleeding dog scratch face.
Oh.
So, I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, you can always do a video screen share, right? It may not be the same, but just do create a few slides and do a screen share video.
Right.
And then get us profile. Like, just get, you can do an intro video with you, just your head from the side that doesn't have scratch. Oh.
So funny, like what I did when I got my nose pierced and I didn't want my dad to see. Yeah, no, I just, you know, I'm looking over here. Look over
I'm
here.
I'm looking over this way. Yeah, okay. Because that would be helpful because in your words, they can feel your passion. And you want them to feel that passion. Like, I absolutely will. This is so true.
Yeah. Okay, and then the video could be kind of pretty much the same content as the email.
Yeah, but you can go in more detail. You don't want to write a 14-page email, right?
No.
You want to get them teased and then say, and then my video will go into more detail about that.
Right. Okay.
You know? And then you just go take them. So you establish the core premise for sure in the email. You use fibromyalgia as a case. Take, for example, fibromyalgia. You know, this is one of the conditions that, and you give them a few lines about that, and then you say, you know, watch my video for details.
Right. Okay,
or you can say, download this. And then you're going to give them, what are you going to give them at first? What's the gift related to?
So I was going to give them the Candida Matrix on the first gift.
Okay, so give me the direct connection. Connect it to the core premise.
Okay, I am going to talk about Candida a bit. I'm going to talk about yeasts. I'm going to talk about other yeasts that are not really tested for. I don't know. And then without really understanding the Candida, they're not going to be able to really resolve it because it's one of those things that people, like this woman the other day, 22 years on a Candida diet. Like, what? She's like, I don't think it's working.
Well, you know, what you want to do is you want to be able to make that connection right there in the email because you want to send them to opt in for the email and make the videos a bonus. It's the, you know, they get that.
So should I do something? Yeah, should I do something else?
No, I think it's, no, not something else. I think that you can connect it. But I think that people are more likely to opt in. Now, on your own list, they'll opt in for anything. But, you know, it doesn't matter. But if you're wanting to have others send people there, there people right. are more likely to, and Facebook traffic is more likely to download a PDF, especially something like that.
Right.
And that's why I created my Candida Matrix. It's just an example of one way that the bacteria get in the way of solving this problem. And it's a really
right.
cool, and nobody's ever done this before. It's very unique. You know, you play up the Candida Matrix. And, you know, I normally only offer it as part of my practitioner training program, but I'm going to give it to you for free today. So there you've seeded
right.
your program. You've made the connection
right.
to the chronic thing. You've said it's one of many resources that I use personally
right.
to get at the heart of this and solve this. You've connected it to fibromyalgia, then you send them off to get it, and then on the page where they download it, they opt in, they download, page will have your video.
Right. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I can do that. Yep.
Okay. Super.
Okay.
Beth, what is the price point on this program?
Well, the more of the content that I'm writing, I really feel like I would like to eventually have it for $19.97. But I would like to offer it super discounted the first time through. So, yeah, like at least 50% discount kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's
yep.
plan.
And a lot of times that's what we'll do if you have a back end that you want to take people through after that too. Like for me, I'm going to offer, you see what our digestive thing is, so it's like 20 hours of videos, and the price should be $19.97, but we're going to offer it for $9.97 because we're giving free tickets to Shine because we want people to come to Shine. We also want to have them know that this is just a part of the whole program, and so we give it to them at a smaller
right.
price. And when you're doing it the first time, it's a good, like, hey, get in this first time because after I do it this next time, it's not going to be this cheap.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
So that's the first one. The second one?
Yeah, the second one, I was actually planning to use the same, like, invisible client, make up a client, call her Jane or whatever, and then use her again and then say she came into the practice and she had the fibromyalgia or she had the other condition and the practitioner decided to treat it with herbs. And so they decided to give her some herbs, but they didn't realize what the herbs were doing in the gut. So they might know a lot about the energetics of the herbs. They might know about the herbs and their actions in the liver or the respiratory system, but not about their interactions with the bacteria in the gut. And
nice.
So they might actually make her condition chronically worse, while they might relieve symptoms. Acute symptoms, they might actually do something like thin the mucosal lining or help the bacteria to make an unhealthy biofilm or something like that, which in the
right.
end is not going to help Jane get to her ultimate health goals. So you can't really be Jane's hero, although
right.
you did help with this.
That's perfect because,
yeah.
you know, what you're doing, and this is how I've learned to do these sequences, I'm just learning to do them in this better way, is that you're defending your core premise. You're like showing an example of your core premise in action.
Mm.
Right?
Cool.
So that's good.
Oh, good. Okay.
Whew. That's really good. And what's
okay,
the free gift for
e-book.
That? That's the
so
e-book
an
for?
E-book. Yeah, the three herbs and what they're really doing in your gut.
Great. Perfect. That matches up perfectly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so that one's good. But then the third one, I have that gut practitioner or the gut whisperer's flowchart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should give that in the third email or if I should wait until the webinar. And
yeah, that sounds like you're really
time.
Summarizing your process, which is
yeah.
kind of what you do to get them ready for the webinar in that third one. You're
okay.
kind of starting to flow into, like, how do you actually use this information?
Right.
And so it could be
right.
a good thing. And then what you do is when you're giving them the reminders to come to the webinar, you say, make sure you've downloaded your thing and watch that video because I'm going to talk to you more about that. Right? You would do that on the webinar. You'd, like,
right.
really go into and go into how you're going to do that in the course, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it yeah. would be good to give on the third one.
Okay.
It's kind of your blueprint, right?
So then,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the theme
right.
for that third email is like, okay, well, how does this really look? Like, how would you actually do it if you were looking at the gut?
Mm-hmm.
And the gut bacteria. Okay.
Okay. Right.
Got
right.
it.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got
Thank
it.
You.
And when do you plan to send out that first email?
Well, so today being Wednesday, if they're all written by today and we can test them, probably the first thing next week.
Wow.
I have a few.
You can get that up? You can get the opt-in ready and everything by then?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You are quick. Okay, good. She's so confident.
Yep,
that's great.
My priority.
Yeah,
but
that's
I'm
great.
Also going to send them to you as well, and you wouldn't have, like, just whenever if you have any time. To look over them, but it doesn't have
yeah.
to, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Yep, send them to me. Send it to me on email because then I can get it because I'll be traveling over the weekend. I'll be able to do that better from my iPad or my iPhone versus trying to get in and log into the site and do a, you know, the VIP chat thing. So send them to me by email.
Thank
and
you.
And I'll take a look at them. And post them to this group. The Facebook group and see what everybody thinks of them too.
Yeah.
And here's
yeah.
the thing I'm
yeah,
going to give
really
you a challenge
helpful.
To, if you can technologically, because you're now on Infusionsoft and you have the ability to know who clicked or who opted in for the gift on the first time.
Yep.
So that you can, a day after or 2 days later, hey, it looks like you haven't downloaded this gift I had for you, and you reiterate. So you send another email only to the people who didn't opt in to remind them to go get that
right.
first gift before you send the second one.
Okay, so if I'm sending it to my list, because
mm-hmm.
I've told myself I'm only going to send the second email to the people who downloaded the first gift, so I
Baloney.
Don't bug them too much.
Baloney. Baloney. Limiting belief.
Okay, baloney. Okay, that's baloney.
You're going to send all of these.
Mug.
You're going to send at least
baloney.
The three emails announcing each of the gifts and the teleseminar and at least three announcing the teleseminar to everybody.
Okay. Okay, but the lot
more
not
open it,
they
get another one that says, hey, I just noticed you hadn't opened this, and you may not say, well, now your list is not all practitioners, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
let me think through that, because there's a way that you can actually in that first email, say, hey, I've got a bunch of resources for people who are health coaches, health practitioners of any kind. If you're not interested in receiving this, just click here, and I'll just take you off the next emails for this. And that gives them the opportunity to opt out of that, and then you just click, and when you're doing the next ones, you just exclude those people who have clicked.
Yeah, I can do that.
And then when they do click, make sure you mark them on your list that says interested in practitioner stuff. Anytime
yeah.
they click a link,
yeah.
any links in the email, they all get clicked to that. And that way, when you are kind of trying to just isolate, you'll know, oh, these guys are the ones that clicked in the previous launch that I did, so I'm going to make sure that I talk to them.
Right.
Okay. Make sure that you let people know in the Facebook groups that you're going to be doing this and that you would love their support in sharing it with their practitioner friends.
Right. Yeah, Rooker can do the affiliate link now. So.
And not everybody that's in the whole NEPT program is on your list, right? A lot of them are.
Right.
But not all of them.
Right.
So make sure that every time you announce one of these, you just put it out there and say, hey, guys, you know, can you share? Or here's something you might like, and here's some great information. I got this really cool download. They're going to love your downloads.
Okay, cool. Okay. Okay, yes.
Okay?
Okay, yes.
You can do it. And if you get me the link, we'll put it in our practitioner. We're going to start a new practitioner newsletter. So I'll make sure it goes out into the NEPT newsletter and also in the our regular newsletter. We have a practitioner corner in our regular newsletter, but then we're going to move to having a separate practitioner newsletter. So we'll put it in there.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. This is good stuff. I like to give away good free content to my list. So don't feel like, you know, by asking somebody if they want to share it, that I'm saying something that I need to hear myself. So I just stopped. Okay, don't feel like when you're asking somebody to share your great information that you're asking them for a favor. You're giving them the benefit of sharing good free content with their list. I don't like to sell stuff to my list. I don't like to sell other people's stuff to my list. I like to give them free content from other people.
Right. Yep.
And that's what you're doing. You're just giving free content. Don't feel like you're bugging them. They may have been on vacation. That's why they didn't open your email.
Right.
Maybe
if I know they're a practitioner and they didn't open the first one, I can send them a second one.
No.
Yeah.
You're giving them the link. If they did not click on the thing that says, I don't want this, so you're going to exclude from the second one anybody who said, I don't want this, and anybody that already opted in for it.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Awesome. Yep. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Anybody else have feedback on that?
No, I'm interested in the course, so let's love to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a chronic course taker, so.
We all are.
That's why we all have that.
I love the downloads. I was looking at those earlier, and I'm like, oh, my God, how did she do that?
I know. I think she's so creative.
I really need to study them because I only had a chance to glance over them, and I was like, oh, God, there's too much information in here. I need to actually read this. So
and that's the point of some of these. It's there's really a lot here, and you've got to keep making that point that there's really a lot here, and in the course I'm going to give you a whole lot more. We'll take it step by step. So, and that's where your premise when you come and do your webinar is, I'm giving you this great information, and have you memorized it yet? Laugh. Probably not, right? Because this is complex.
Yeah.
And there's a lot here, and it's taken me many years to come up with and, you know, really reorganize my thoughts around this and my experience around this. That's why I created this course. So I want to make it easier for you.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to let you know, Steph, and this is probably unconscious and you didn't even realize you were doing it, and I don't think you do it when you have your webinars, but I noticed when you were talking about your price point, Cynthia Pasquella talked about this in the ITN course, when you said, well, I'm thinking of offering it for $19.97, and your voice went up at the end, and then I don't know if you noticed, but when Dr. Rita Marie talked about her programs, she said, well, I offer this for $19.97, but I'm giving you this deal of $9.97 because blah, 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 you signed up at Shine. So that's one of those things that you really – she has drilled this into us, Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dr. Rita Marie said that, she sounded confident. This is the price. This is what it costs. This is what it is. And when you open up that little question, you're all but asked so. And like I said, when you do your webinars, I don't hear you do that. So I think it might have been a case
of
you were kind of trying to – Yeah, you were working out the price in your head while you were answering her question. So I don't, but do pay attention to that and keep
yes,
it in mind.
It's
because that's
an awesome point. We all tend to do that, and it's taken me a long time.
Yes.
And women
and
do
have
it.
A
women do it more than men.
Women do it more than men.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, men will just say, this is what it costs, this is what it is, are you interested? And women go, well, you know, you're kind of my friend, so I'll, like, cut you a deal. And we all do it. We all do it. So, you know, but, yeah.
It's because
so
it's you
we
guys.
All need to.
Yeah,
like, who
yeah.
am I to, like, sell something to my peers for this, like, crazy price point?
You know,
yeah.
I've had
but
a crazy
feel like
point.
It's worth it.
It's totally worth it. And when I first started doing the practitioner stuff, I'd been begged to do it for years. And I decided, okay, I'm going to create this program. And I created a year-long program for practitioners. And I offered it, and it was really that they got to go through the ERC program themselves and get coaching and all that stuff through it. And so it was like, well, for an extra $3,000, you can have a year of practitioner stuff, and it was like I wondered why everybody signed up right on the call. Like, people told me you can't sell a program at that price point on a webinar and have people sign up, and it was like, yes, I can. But then I realized, yes, I can, because it was so freaking underpriced.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and it's okay to do that the first time, but you have to let them know that you're cutting them a deal. And as a result, what you're looking for is some feedback, you know, so you can make it the best program on them. And you get they get to come through it with you in a small group. What's that?
Your program, Steph, are worth the cost. I mean,
oh, yeah, totally.
We know that.
Thank you.
And I'll be perfectly happy to pass it along to my people, because I've had a lot of people asking me about the program I was doing and for your information. And so I've got a couple of groups that are, like, primed.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I've got to go because I've got another call and I'm late for it. But I just wanted to hang and make sure that you guys got what you needed. Did everybody get what they needed today?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. So post on the group afterwards one takeaway that you're going to commit to and follow up with the group next week on. Doesn't mean you have to finish it by next week.
Thanks
it just means
much.
That you have to follow up. Okay? You're welcome. And I hope that, you know, I was trying to be sensitive to where you're at, but I was also trying to knock you the heck out of it. So I hope I wasn't too harsh.
Not at all.
Okay. All right, good. And just to feedback to your sister is Deborah, Diane. 75 degrees and sunny next Thursday, Friday when you're here. And then I don't know past that, but at least then. So you're going to have nice warm weather when you come.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What was that? I'm sorry.
75 degrees and sunny.
Oh.
Thursday, Friday. Oh. It doesn't go as far out as Saturday, Sunday, but I'm guessing that it'll still be there.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy.
Right.
We're going to work outside.
Yeah, we will. We can. We've done that. I actually did part of our VIP day with Jane in the swimming pool. Well, it's not going to be that warm because she did it in September, but we actually did part of it in the swimming pool. We sat outside. Steph and I didn't leave the house. She and I just were like, but we will.
Okay.
We will do that.
Thank you.
All right. All right. We'll take care. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.